Are we ready? For the renewing of our minds, not yours, our minds. Continuously. So that when that day comes, when he steps down or we go up, heaven will not be an unfamiliar place. And the people there will not be unfamiliar faces. We'll suddenly realize this was the place I was born for. And this is my family. Then, Father, this morning, we surrender, Lord. Our heart, mind, soul, we surrender. It's an attitude of worship. We offer our bodies as living sacrifice, Lord. Help us, Father, even the little ones and the older ones, help us to have traction in our minds and not distraction, Lord. To set our minds on things that are above and not on things that are below. For we have risen with Christ. We have been raised to the heavenly realms, seated with him in the heavenly realms. We've been given the mind of Christ. Help us to feed that mind, that we may operate according to that nature of Christ. Everyone, Lord. Here, everyone, online, everyone, continuously, Lord, the ministry of your word, not only bring healing into our bodies, but also into our minds. For your word says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Change our heart. You already given us a new heart. Now feed that heart, O Lord. Thank you, Father. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 So are we ready? Go to Romans 12 and verse 2. One, maybe no, two, but we are focusing on two. Do not be conformed to this world. How do we get conformed to this world? By verbal and nonverbal communication. By what we hear. And then what we see. Not the other way. Like the baby sitting at the back. They don't understand. Not because they do not see. It's simply because they do not have words in their mind. Your perception of anything will be equal to the words you have in your mind. We need words to understand anything. We need words. Okay. And the richest language in the world is simply English, because of the rivers that are flown into that language, the amount of literature that is available in the language. So it was not that way once, but it has become that. It's become no longer the language of England. It's a universal language. So please remember, do not conform to the pattern of the world. It has many, many patterns. Don't conform. If you do, your mind will be always in enmity with God. Always will be resisting instead of cooperating with the Spirit of God. Okay? Not resisting, but we need to cooperate when the Spirit speaks to us. Then, be transformed. We are transformed. We are changed completely. God says He is able to save us to the uttermost. Last night for the Q&A, we had a question from a teenager from Cape Town. Okay, so you need to realize how far the world is going. Cape Town is practically the other end of the world, end of Africa. Okay, from there, asking about repentance and about change. Because they're all listening. And about why this need to be perfect. The need to be perfect is because if you are born again, your father is perfect. Like father, he says, be like children. Okay, and he will help us through the whole world. But it is not going to be possible unless our mind changes, the way we think changes. But the renewing of your mind, that you may prove. You can know, you can prove that the will of God is, it's good. It's pleasing. And one day you will realize it's perfect. It's perfect. It was perfect. You'll not know now, like we talk about, Elsa prayed, she talked about in hindsight. It's only in hindsight, There are many sights. There is hindsight. There is foresight. There is insight. And there is oversight. These are all connected with sight. And he's not talking about the eyes. It's how you perceive, how you understand. A lot of things which God has done in our lives, we will only understand in hindsight. We will realize, oh, it was God. Even before you were born again. Because even before we knew him, he knew us. He knew that we were saved. He knew he had set us apart. So he was working in our lives before we ever came to encounter him. So get this clear. There are fundamental issues in life. It's not going to be addressed. For a lot of people, even in the church, in the kingdom of God, think that money can solve problems. It cannot. It cannot. Okay? Only thing, the problem changes. Sometimes problem becomes worse. Because a person inside changes. And what changed him is money. Because money gives you a relative level of autonomy where you don't need God. Okay? So please understand this. The only thing that can settle life is when your thinking changes. So there are fundamental questions. Yesterday we asked those questions in the Q&A. Because how you think will define who you are. There are fundamental questions. People don't ask, many ask, some don't ask. But these questions, even though it is unasked, the answers to these questions defines the way people think and live. The first question is, where am I from? Where am I from? What am I doing here? Where am I going? Three fundamental questions. If you didn't ask these questions, start asking today. Where am I from? Even if you never ask these questions, your philosophy connected with these questions, your philosophy of what life is determined by how you live your life out here. There are three monotheistic religions. Judaism, the oldest, Christianity, and Islam has religions. All three of them tell us about Adam and the Garden of Eden. So they have an answer, same answer, as to where you are from. Where you are from, who created you, where you are from. Kind of a rough answer monotheistic religions have. What I am doing here, all three give different answers. Where I am going, only one has a very definite, clear answer. Then you come to the other religions, the pagan, Gentile religions. In different countries, there were pagan religions. Ultimately, they are not sure where they are from. That's why they believe you are born again, rebirth, the migration of souls. Whether it's Hinduism, Jainism, Buddhism and all, ultimately believes in the migration of souls and ultimately reaching a point where you just dissolve into eternity. Cosmic unconsciousness. Whatever terms they use. Because they do not know where they are from. But because they believe this is where we are from and this is where what I am doing here, so karma demands that this is what you need to hear. Ultimately, let your good works outweigh your bad works, so at least the next birth you may have a better status than you are presently in. Okay, so this is where I am from, a previous birth which I do not know, or going to another birth which I do not know, and in between try to do the best you can. So people do not realize the answer to these questions, what you believe, is defining how you live your life out. So you have to look at them with sympathy, with compassion, as Jesus looked at the crowds and even at Nineveh, 120,000 people there who do not know their right hand from their left hand. And Jonah, you're worried about a bush, a creeper that dried in the sun. Don't you think I should care about these people? Look at them with compassion because they do not know. They simply do not know. I always tell pastors when I train them, if you do not have compassion, never step into ministry. Never step into ministry. Because it is written about him, when you look at the crowds, He had compassion in their hearts. Compassion. Pharisees had no compassion. No compassion for the crowds. Okay. And they were also in ministry. And they would cross the oceans to get a convert and make them double the son of hell that they were. So get these three questions. These are fundamental questions. Everybody has these questions unconsciously, or they have asked. And they live their lives that way. Then there is this atheist. Atheism did not begin in the East. It began in the West. It began in the West. The Christian Judaic West is where atheism begins. The reason is this, I always tell. If you want put religions on a scale, the final is Judeo-Christianity. Because they have the knowledge of the one and true God. So when you reject it, you fall into an abyss. You don't fall into another religion. You fall into an abyss where there is no God. Where there is no God. Okay? So the West is full of atheists. For them, they believe in evolution. If you believe in evolution, there are no absolutes. There are no absolutes. No moral, ethical absolutes. And that is what the leftists believe in. The communists believe in. Okay? And they have their own theory of how life works. The end justifies the means. So it doesn't matter how you work it out. What you need is the answer. This is our answer. We have an utopia, an egalitarian society where everybody is equal. And in the process, if we have to kill half the population, it is fine. Because the end justifies the means. Anyway, people have no ethical, moral value. If you evolved out of a globe, it doesn't matter. If this death is the end of everything, then it doesn't matter. We need to understand, because things are happening around the world. Things are happening around the world. The protests in the Ivy League universities around the world, even in Europe, taking place. It's by a set of young brainwashed children. And they're all leftists. If you read the two daily readings, yesterday's and today's. Nazarene, yesterday's and today's. Okay, write notes. Okay, take a book, take a pen and write. That will help you to keep traction on your mind. Okay, little children. You got a book? Yes. And your sister's got a pen. Your sister is kind to you. Nazarene, it's a blessed day. Okay. It's a blessing. Take the pen and the book and write. Okay, that will give you traction. That's the reason. Okay, teach your little children to take notes now. Because when they go into higher education, you will realize that's the only thing that will sustain you. And the speed which the professor goes, he's not going to repeat anything. And like he was in the university, he will tell you what comes out of a mouth is the syllabus. So it's good to teach them. Good to teach them. It's good to take notes. Point, point, point. You don't need to write the whole thing verbatim. What is important? Take it. Learn these things. Okay? Learn these things. Because this is important. Yesterday was Eurovision. The music. You look at what was happening over there. In the Swedish city. The Israeli singer was one of the finalists. And she had to be escorted by 100 policemen. And Israel's best Shin Bet, their secret police. And they were being hooted and booing and shouting and screaming just because her identity is Israel. Okay. The Irish singer, literally portraying Satan on the stage. I'm just reading from the news. I don't watch any of this junk. And the one who won it from Switzerland or something is non-binary. These are all young people. Right before our eyes. Because you will only live out what you believe. And you think the words you hear are not important. The words you hear are very, very important. And everyone is trying to grab your mind. And grab your mind when you are young. That's why your children, where they study, what they hear, what they watch, what they read is so important, because in the first 5-10 years of life, things are settling in. Settling in. So we have to be very, very careful. The monotheistic religions, the first and the third one, Judaism and Islam, is basically law. Law. The law was given through Moses and Sharia came through Muhammad, the law. But unlike Sharia that came through Muhammad, which is a warped interpretation of the Mosaic law, the Mosaic law is just a shadow. It's just a shadow. Nobody lives under a shadow. It can give you some shade in summer, but it has no life. It has no life. Shadow has no life. It is not real. The substance is Christ. The substance is Christ. So 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6 will tell us, He made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant. Not the old covenant. Because the old covenant was of the letter, but of the spirit. That is a new covenant. For the letter kills. But the spirit gives life. The letter kills, the law kills. So Muslim will kill Jew, and Jew will kill the Muslim in return. Because the law kills. There's no mercy in law. There's no compassion. Law shows no mercy because it has no soul. If you take Christ from the law is deadly. It is deadly. So the problem is, Judaism, the one that is practiced, not the real Judaism of the Bible, and the law of Islam, doesn't have Christ. And without Christ, it just kills. Just kills. There's no mercy. No mercy. And wherever the law is, wherever the law is, even if it's in your heart, we talk about the change of heart. Pastor PJ preached about the heart. Brother Wesley spoke about the heart, recapping our memory. The heart. Because the law is written on the tablets of our heart. But if it is the heart, it's the old heart, which is of stone. You will not see. You will not see anything. It doesn't matter who you are. You could be a Pharisee on the street or the Pharisee from the Sanhedrin who comes in the night. You're still not able to see. And 2 Corinthians chapter 3 talks about it. Verse 14. But their minds were blinded, for until this day the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament. Because the veil is taken away only in Christ. You read the Bible. Without being saved, all you can see is stories and laws, nothing else. So stories entertain you, and the law hardens your heart. Nothing else. You don't see anything. But when you turn to Christ, but even to this day when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. That part of your soul, that heart, that mind, that unseen mind, the subconscious, it covers their mind. They're not able to perceive. You may think you understand, but you don't understand. And nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. You have to turn to Christ. You have to turn to the Spirit of God. And when that happens, you are able to understand. And suddenly this book becomes something different. You realize, you know what this book is? This is the book of life. It becomes life. It's eternal life. Life is of two categories. Temporal and eternal. And when you turn to Christ, the veil is lifted and we are able to see eternal life. The life of God. The kind of life. Okay. So, we take time to teach. The whole purpose we spend time is hoping our minds are renewed. Our minds are renewed. Minds are renewed. You read in today's, how many of you read today's morning devotion? It's not a judgment or condemnation. People read at different times during the day and even the week. But how many of you read? Okay. Only one person read today morning's devotion. Two people, right? Okay, I'll take your names and I'll send only to you two from tomorrow. Why waste my time, no?
A group of two people, GTC. Think about it. Yesterday's and today's are very powerful devotions. Not mine. Very powerful devotions. It's literally written so many years, 5, 6, 8, 9, 10 years back, literally revealing to us exactly what is happening today. Exactly what's happening around the Western nations today. With what foresight a person is writing it and saying, this is exactly what is happening. And it's talking about truth. About truth. Because the word of God is truth. This is truth. Okay? At least be devoted to the devotions. Read it. Early in the morning you receive it. Maybe let me ask you this question. Now this is the tough one. Okay? Be honest in the presence of the Lord. How many of you took your phone today? How many of you took your phone today? How many of you read other messages today? Okay. So you didn't take your phone also. Lord have mercy. You can give me your phones. If you don't need it. Lord, Lord, have mercy on these children. Turn to Hosea 4:6. Very well known verse for us. In the old covenant, the Bible, God says, my people are destroyed. He didn't say the people in the world, even though it's true. But he's talking to us, his own people. He says, my people are destroyed. Destroyed by what? Only one thing. Lack of knowledge. My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge. Let me tell you, ignorance kills. It really kills. Ignorance in any field, if you are in that field, will kill you. And there's something, like I told you, there's something worse than not knowing your purpose in life is being successful in the wrong purpose. Wrong purpose. Okay. Wrong purpose. In the same way, there is something worse than ignorance. You know what it is? It's wrong knowledge. Wrong knowledge. Something worse than ignorance is wrong knowledge. And there's only one knowledge that is true. That is called truth. One of the most profound conversations in the Bible, or probably in all history, recorded history and in the Bible, occurs between a Gentile and a Jew. A Roman governor and a Jewish prisoner, between Pilate and Jesus. And the topic of their conversation is truth. This is how the conversation goes. You find it in John 18. Jesus is a prisoner and is before Pilate. Then Pilate entered the praetorium again, called Jesus and said to him, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, are you speaking for yourself about this, or did you others tell you this concerning me? You know, often Jesus answers a question with a question. Why does he answer a question with a question and not an answer? Because he wants to find out, are you genuinely seeking something? Are you a true seeker? Okay, please understand, our God is a God who judges the intentions behind our thoughts. Are you asking this question because you are really interested to know who is the king of the Jews, or because somebody told you something? Pilate answered and said, am I a Jew? Am I a Jew? I'm not a Jew. I'm not interested in who the king of the Jews is. I'm a Jew. Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done? Jesus answered. Jesus does not answer the questions. He just makes statements. What have you done? He doesn't answer the question. He makes statements. Because he's not speaking to Pilate. He's speaking to us. Pilate is just there, but he's speaking to us. For every man down the generations, they need to hear certain things. He was not speaking about worship to the Samaritan woman. She's not going to lead worship or be in the worship team. He's speaking to us as to what real worship is. Some of his most profound conversations are with people whom we wouldn't give the time of the day. A Samaritan woman and a Gentile. One, he's talking about worship.
And to the other, he's talking about truth. This is what he says. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight, so I would not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. Pilate therefore said to him, are you a king then? Jesus answered, you rightly say. First he talked about the kingdom. Then he talks about who the king is. You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into this world, that I should bear witness to the truth. I am witnessing, I am a witness to the truth. Which truth? The truth. This truth. What is this truth? But a kingdom and a king. A king and his kingdom. I am a witness to that truth. Everyone who is of that truth. The truth, which about the king and the kingdom will hear my voice. This is different from the next statement he's going to make. Or rather Pilate will make. He says, I am a witness of a particular truth. What is that truth? About the king and the kingdom. And everyone who's of that kingdom will hear my voice. Because the gospel is about this kingdom. They will hear this voice. And then Pilate said to him, what is it? He's not says, what is that truth you're talking about? No, he says, it makes a general statement. What is truth? What is truth? And today's daily reading was about it. The French philosopher Michel Foucault, I studied him 30 years back about when he flew. Because we had to read all these people. Michel Foucault was one of the foremost philosophers. He died in 1986. Okay, was Michel Foucault, and about these other people who destroy the concept about absolutes and absolute truths, which is what you see these children believing and doing what they are doing. You should ask these children, if you look at these children who are wearing hoodies and you pick each one of them, every one of them, whether black or white, is coming from a Christian home. And why are you saying we are Hamas, death to the Jews? Ask them the question. Why? Because they don't believe anymore. These are not Muslims who are shouting. These are children like you and me who were born in Christian households. Who were raised up in churches. Many of them who probably were part of the worship team. Why? Because there are philosophers out there in these universities who put across very powerful ideas and destroy this concept about an absolute God and absolute values. What is at stake now is truth itself. That's what he's asking. He's a Gentile. He says, what is truth? Caesar says this, this one says there, that one says, what is truth? Is there anything called truth? It's a question that is being asked. You have to start thinking. Start being serious about what God has given you. Your mind. The most powerful part of your soul. Engage in serious thinking, because that mind is so powerful that both God wants it, the devil wants it. Everywhere you go to work, you're paying price for your mind. Because everything you know which you're applying in your workplace is there. It's there. The body is just working it out. What is truth? Because the modern era is full of people who deny there are absolutes. What is death? If death is the end, that's what they believe. Then what is truth? You know, to that three questions, where you are from, why are you here, where you are going, the only one who gave the perfect true answer was Jesus. Nobody before or after. Nobody. Nobody. Nobody could give that answer so authentically and so authoritatively. He says, I am from the Father. That's where I am from. And I'm from the bosom of the Father, from his heart, from closest to him, from his bosom. And I've come to reveal. That's where I am from. Why are you here? Over and over he said, for this reason I am here. For this reason I am here. This reason I am here. Where are you going? Going back to my Father.
No religious founder, no founder of any religion was able to give the answer authoritatively and authentically, the answer to these three questions, because they couldn't. They couldn't answer it. Only he could answer it. So when you ask this question, what is truth? Jesus said, I am the truth. It is absolute. And it is everlasting. Do you know whenever the Bible talks either about God or His kingdom, it will always talk forever and ever. Forever and ever. Everlasting. Evermore. These terms. What does it mean? It never passes away. It is forever. It's absolute. It will not cease to exist. You cannot lie. It is absolute. Why? Forever and ever in eternity, nobody will lie. In heaven, the new creation, nobody will lie. Nobody will steal. These are absolutes. Understand that. These are absolutes because God is absolute and is forevermore. So when God told us, remember this is on which we've been building on, working on for months together, Matthew 6 and verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things. Our pursuit of temporal life. We have a temporal life, a beginning with an end. Born, died, lived. And in this living period, we think we need lots of things. God says you don't need all of that. You need only certain things. But we waste our time pursuing these things. God says don't do that. It's a waste of life. It's a waste of time. You do these things, which I tell you, put that first, put that as your priority in time. You pursue my kingdom and my righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. So the question should ask is, why should I pursue first the kingdom of God? Answer, because it's everlasting. It's everlasting. It is everlasting. Why should I pursue that life? Because that life is everlasting. Well, the life which we are living now is temporal. It's got an expiry date. Why is it everlasting? Because it's based on absolute truth. So we have to tackle this. Mind has to tackle one with religions. East has produced a whole lot of religion. West also had a whole lot of religions, all gone. Nobody's worshipping Minerva, Athene, Hera, Osiris. Osiris was from Egypt. Zu, his wife was Hera. Nobody's worshipping any of these people. They're all mythological stories we read and we enjoy. But we don't, nobody worships. Hollywood will make some movies called Thor and all that. Nobody worships them anymore. Not the way pagan religion, just like the religion in India. The same kind of God, same kind of idols, same kind of rituals. So all was there, it all disappeared. Christianity went, it all disappeared. So there are religions, there are ideologies, then there is truth. There is truth. You know, religion can be stopped anytime. Can be stopped anytime. That's why I said Jesus did not bring a religion. What he brought was a kingdom. He didn't bring a religion. He brought a kingdom. And he says to enter into that kingdom, it will demand a new birth. It will demand a new birth. Literally demand a new birth. In John 1 verse 12 and 13, he talks about that. As many as who received him, to them he gave the right, the authority, the power to become the children of God. Those who believe in his name, who were not born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man. You are born by the will of God. He says this is not religion. Because religion is focused on doing. That's why you felt bad. Because you didn't read your devotion today and pastor found out. But that's religion. If it was kingdom, If it was kingdom. If you had read yesterday's, you would have been waiting for today's. Because kingdom is not connected with doing. Kingdom is connected with being. Religion is connected with doing. That's why you can stop, switch off religion whenever you want. So there are so many things which God is speaking about the kingdom, and we see with our religious mind and we say, how is this possible? Pray without ceasing. Because in religion you can switch off prayer, in the kingdom you don't. Because that's what you are. Always rejoice. And we say, no, sometimes we are happy, sometimes we are sad, switch off, switch on. In the kingdom, no. That's who you are. Give thanks in everything. Doesn't fit into your this mind. How does that happen? Because that's not religion, that's kingdom. Let me explain to you, because children are also there. Little children, lend me your ears, because I have great hope and faith in you. Because your minds have been so far protected to a great extent. So let me explain to you how the difference between kingdom and religion. Religion and kingdom. I'm an Indian. You know why I'm an Indian? By birth. I was born of Indian parents. Therefore I'm an Indian. Nobody can do anything about it. The government cannot pass a resolution tomorrow telling me tomorrow you're no longer Indian. I'm still an Indian. They can put me in prison. They can shackle my hands and feet. But it is an Indian who is in prison. It's an Indian who is in prison. His legs are tied up. His hands are tied up. But the fellow who is inside is an Indian, because you cannot take that away. But if it is religion, you can switch it off. So Paul and Silas is in prison, but it's not religion. It's kingdom. It's kingdom. It's not what they are doing. It's who they are. It's who they are. That is who you are. That's what God is talking about. That's who you are. Another example there. The tall man sitting over there is my son. The son is one of our kids is sitting here. Lok Sabha and Rajya Sabha passes a resolution and the president signs it that he's not my son. He's still my son. Why? The government cannot go in and change the DNA. He says, I am not your son. I say, you are not my son. He's still my son. Why? Birth determines who you are. Birth determines who you are. So Jesus did not bring a religion. He said, I brought you a kingdom and you enter it by a new birth. That's who you are. That's who you are. New birth. What does it mean? Born of God. Your spiritual DNA has actually changed. You are born of God. Last Sunday we looked, or the Sunday before we looked, from 1 Peter 1:23. Born of incorruptible seed. Incorruptible. Born, not of corruptible, incorruptible seed. The seed has a DNA. When you're born again, you became a spirit being. Christ is a life-giving spirit. That DNA has got everything of God in it. Everything of God, because you're born of God. No, Anisha and all of them say, because they will tell me, Papa, Andrew is just like you. And I didn't realize it until they told me. He jokes just like you, because he never jokes with me, never jokes before me. He talks like you, he jokes like you. You know why? Your DNA is the same. Now, if I were to go back to my hometown, years back when I hometown, they looked at me and said, my gosh, you're just like your father. Just like your father. And even my mother at times has got shocked and said, I thought your father was coming, he is dead and gone. Okay? You know why? The DNA is the same. But this is more than features. Something more than that. We have the DNA of God, the spiritual. Born of God. The incorruptible seed of God. The Spirit through Apostle Paul will say in James 1:18, this is how we are Born forth by his own will, not by blood, by the will of man, by the will of God, he brought us forth by with the word of truth. That seed was truth. Of truth. Did you get it? You're born of truth. If you are born of truth. You see, we have so many children sitting over there, little ones all over there. We have the smallest one. I think probably this is her last week as the youngest one. The next one is on the way. Jyoti is praying that she delivers before I go. I'm also praying that you pray before. Otherwise I'll come back and see, okay? Another baby is coming over here. Okay, if you look at the babies. Okay, we are excited. We are looking for our first Indo-African production. No, we are looking. We are waiting to see that baby. Everybody is interested to know what is the nature of the hair. Everybody is saying what is this going to be, long and wavy or curly. Okay, so our baby is coming. Okay. Once the baby comes, the baby is hungry. The baby is hungry. Why? Because what is it hungry for? Because that's its nature. It wants what it wants. You feed the baby milk. The baby is hungry. It's natural. Okay? Because that's how we were all hungry. And some of you are still hungry. And there is biryani for lunch. Okay? Be happy. Okay? Expect, okay? Biryani for lunch. That should wake you up. All those who are sleeping, I got your attention when I mentioned that interesting word called biryani. Okay? Think about it. The baby is hungry, but that's its nature, right? You have to feed the baby. Anything that's born, any animal, any human being born is hungry, you have to feed. If you're born of truth, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. You want to see signs of life? You want to see signs of life? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Why? Because you're born of truth. Because righteousness is the end product of truth. It's an end product of truth. Remember God's very famous indictment of Israel found in Isaiah 59, 13 and 14. Very powerful verses. This is God's indictment of his nation. In transgression and lying against the Lord and departing from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words that are false. He says, out of the heart, everything he says, he lies, 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 and those lies is creating violence and oppression in the society. Okay? Why is there violence in the campuses? Because of the lies they have heard. Lies they have heard. The media is full of lies. And they brainwash people. And suddenly the young people are all out there protesting. Violence. Why? Because you have spoken, uttered from the heart, words that are falsehood. And then in verse 14, one of the most powerful verses connected truth. This is what God says. Mark these words in your Bible. Justice is turned back. Righteousness stands far off. Truth is fallen in the street and equity cannot enter. This is the state of your life. This is the state of your country. This is the state of the society. This is the state of the nation. What does everybody want? Everybody wants justice. When justice comes, what you get is righteousness. The personal feeling product of righteousness is peace and joy. Okay? And what do you have? You have equity. We want an equitable society. Equity means balance. Iniquity means unbalanced. So when man sinned, he became unbalanced towards God and towards man. He's hiding from God and blaming his wife. Balance is gone. They were both naked and not were ashamed. They had an awesome relationship with God. In the cool of the evening, Adam walked and fellowshiped with God. Now he's neither fellowshipping with God or not fellowshipping with his wife. What has happened? Equity has gone. Iniquity has come in. Balance is gone. Balance is gone. And why has all these things happened? Why is justice turned back? Why does righteousness is so far? Why doesn't balance come back? Only one reason. Because in the street, truth has fallen.
Like it in Hindi, Satya Bazaar mein gir gaye. Truth has fallen. You want all of this back? There's only one way. Truth has to stand up again. Once truth stands up, it's an absolute. God is truth. Jesus said, I am truth. He said, the Spirit is the Spirit of truth. He says, sanctify them by my word. My word is truth. And he said, the church is a pillar and the foundation of truth. So when truth stands up, you have a standard by which you can make judgments. Because justice is a result of a judgment. When you win your case, you will say, the judge is good. He made a right judgment. I received justice. Justice is a result of judgment. To make judgments, you need truth. So when truth stands up, you start understanding truth. Because every decision you are making in your life is a judgment. The question is, how are you making your judgments? Only this is true. Everything else is opinion. This is true. So from the youngest here to the oldest person listening, everyone needs truth to make judgments. And when you have truth and you make a judgment, which is right, you have is justice. Instead of justice being turned back, justice is turned for you. And what you have is righteousness. What comes back? Equity comes back. Balances come back. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. They heard. They were convicted by the Holy Spirit. And they said, what shall we do? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And be baptized. You'll receive the forgiveness, remission of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. What did they do? They accepted the truth. That I'm a sinner. I need to repent. And no work I do is going to save me. Lest I believe only in the work of Christ Jesus. Truth stood up. They accepted it. And you know what? Balance came. The Spirit of God came in. Balance with God is restored. Now we are working to see that you keep that balance and trying to work out balance with people. So pursue peace with all people. But all this will happen only when truth stands up. Truth stands up. And in modern society, the casualty is truth. And we see this in our elections for the past 2 months. Lie after lie after lie after lie after lie, being powerful leaders, just spewing out lies. Without blinking their eyes. And you should be shocked, how can these people stand there and speak lie, whether it's in India or whether it's in the White House, stand there and speak lies. How can a nation be restored? Or how can a person be restored? Unless truth stands up. Therefore your heart, the new heart God has given, the heart of stone he has removed, your heart of flesh he has given, that heart, that heart of your mind, what it needs is truth. This is the word. It's the truth. That one book, we neglect. The messages, we choose not to listen. It's not that you did not have time, or you do not have time. It's simply because you haven't put order in your life. God's order. New birth. Total transformation. Truth. We were born. Remember what Psalm 51:5 David says? I was born in sin. Brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived. Why? This is the corruptible seed. When Adam fell, that is all we are. We were in Adam. The seed was corruptible. So what did we have? We had iniquity. I was born in iniquity. No balance. There's a baby sitting. You see, all the babies sitting at the back are cute. Very cute. All of them are cute. Do you think every day they wake up and says, Mommy, thank you, Mommy. I love you, Mommy. I love you so much for suffering. So today's Mother's Day. Really wonder. This is what Gigi is going to say. Nothing. Take care of me. Iniquity, no balance. We told you, don't have to do one thing to send your children to hell. Just leave them alone. They'll automatically go. Born in sin, shaped in iniquity. That's why our children who are born of us, because of our faith, are set apart. They have two parents and one angel to watch over them. To see that they make it.
Iniquity, unbalanced. Unbalanced. So nothing outside is going to change. Social transformation, what they are talking about, is not going to change. It is not going to happen. God says there's only one answer. What is that? A new birth. A new birth is always a result of an encounter with a person called Jesus Christ, with truth itself, the living truth. And you will have people encountering Jesus. Nicodemus will come in the night and go in the night because he knows if he believes what this man says, that's the end of religion. The problem is, if Nicodemus accepts what Jesus says, what is he going to do next? How will he be part of the Sanhedrin? Your whole life is gone. Everything that you built your life on is demolished with one encounter. Years later, another one who is probably the part of the Sanhedrin or about to become the part of the Sanhedrin, a very influential person, a young man called Saul of Tarsus, has an encounter with Jesus Christ and religion is gone. It's finished. It is done. It's over. After that, he does not talk religion. He says, I preach Christ crucified. Truth is a person. It's not just an idea. It's a person. God is truth. Truth is not God, but God is truth. In the devotion, today's and yesterday's, it was about truth. In Proverbs 23 and 23, buy truth. You have to pay a price for truth. To understand truth in his generation. And he did not really find it, but he found a semblance of it. Prince Siddhartha of Kapilavastu. To understand the meaning of life and death, because he saw a funeral buyer going past and he was crown prince. He left his wife and his child called Rahul and walked away searching for truth. It's not easy. God says you have to buy it. It's a price to be paid. What's the price to pay? The question is, when you find truth, what will you do? What will you do? If you're a Muslim, you will die. If you're a Muslim nation, you will die. If you're a Hindu in many parts of India, you will die. If you are in Nepal, you lose your inheritance. Are you willing to pay the price? Unless you understand the difference between temporal life and eternal life. Price. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 18, to this church where truth is gone outside, Christ is outside, is no longer inside, the church services are going on, they are happy because they are one with the world. Christ comes and tells them, this is your real state, and then he tells them, I counsel you to buy from me, gold refined, that's truth, in fire. That's why believers go through trials and tests. To prove to you what you believe is true or not. Whether you believe in it or not. Do you really believe? Because without a test, you cannot have a testimony. A testimony is a result of test. And that's what is written about the overcomers in Revelation 12:11. They overcame him, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb, but they believed in the work of Christ and by the word of their testimony. By the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives even unto death. They were willing to pay the ultimate price if it came to it. Because they knew there is another life which is eternal. So now that you are born again, everyone who is born again, born of God, not religion, born of God, born of incorruptible seed, born of God. John 1 will tell, born of God. What did he give you when you were born of God? What did he give you? He said, he gave you the right. Right here means authority and power. To become something. You and I have to become something. Become something.
When I was born, almost 60 years ago, I was born an Indian. Born an Indian. But if you were to look at me when I was born, you probably wouldn't know that I was born an Indian, because you look at the parents and say, okay, he's an Indian. The paperwork says you are an Indian. But as I grew, I became an Indian. In so many ways. I became an Indian. We learn to speak like Indians. We eat like Indians with these five spoons and forks. Okay. Do you know why we eat with hands and the white man eats with the fork? If you ever, Westerner asks, how come you eat with hand and we eat with fork and spoon? Don't be, always use humor to disarm them. You need to realize that, sir, that fork which you're using, I don't know how many mouths it has gone. This one I know has only gone into my mouth. Okay, always use humor to, okay, never be hostile, culture vultures, don't be all that. Okay, I saw enough of that in Iflu, all these culture vultures. Okay, one culture is not better than any other culture, because all these cultures are fallen and shaped in iniquity. It's only one culture which is holy, which is called the culture of the kingdom. So he gave us the power, the authority to become the children of Israel. We have to become something. And the church has failed in it. Has failed in to teach the people who are saved to become something. To become something. So I told you, as soon as 3,000 people were saved on the day of Pentecost, he told them with many words, of which only few words are written, many words, come out of this corrupt generation. And those who received that word gladly, 3,000 were baptized. And the next verse it says, they gathered steadfastly. For what? Teaching. What is this teaching? It's about the kingdom of God. Okay? It's about the kingdom of God. You know, every year, thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of young people attempt to clear the Indian Civil Services exam, one of the toughest exams in the world. Few make it. A few, maybe a couple of thousand people make it. And these people who write are from every stream. It doesn't matter. You just need a graduation. And anybody can write this exam. Okay? And you have certain number of attempts. I forgot how many. Old days, my days, it was 3 attempts. But now I think you have more attempts. And age and all, they have been changing. Okay, but doesn't matter. It's the toughest exam. Few clear. As soon as you clear, they don't get posting. Depending upon your ranking and your choice, if you have high rank and you have chosen IAS, that is administrative service, you go to Mussoorie. That's where you are trained. If you choose IPS, you come to Hyderabad, Sardar Vallabhbhai Patel Police Academy. That's where you are trained. You see, once they're cleared, they all have to be trained. So different are there. IRS is there, 2 IRS, Revenue Service, Railway Service, Postal Service, all part of civil service. People only know 3. People do not know how many civil services are there in that. And they're all Class A gazetted officers. But once they clear, they all go to different places to be trained. So we cleared something. We were born of God, born into the kingdom, born of the Spirit of God, born of the Word. God says the training begins to change the way you think. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You have to become somebody. You have been given the authority. You have been given the power. It is there in the seed. Everything is in the seed. In the right environment, if you allow the seed to grow, another person will emerge. A kingdom person will emerge. Who thinks, starts thinking and talking and walking and living like Christ. Because ultimately what is going to shape everything you talk and think and walk is what you hear. The apostles' doctrine. It's not religion. It's not religion. This is a life. And because the kingdom is invisible and the king is invisible, you have to receive it by faith. And live by faith. Because if you can see, you don't need faith. It is sight. But you cannot see. But you know it's real.
Do you believe that? All the parents here, show me your hands. Parents with children, show me your hands. Let me ask you this question. You fed your children well. They're all well grown, growing well. Some growing too much. But you all fed them, right? Fed them. Let me ask you this question. Why did you send them to school? Did you see that soul? Did you do a brain scan? You couldn't see that soul, but you believed. And you spent through your nose, many parents, to see that your children had an education. You fed the body with food. But that unseen part of you, you fed it something. Now a new person has been born in. He has to become somebody. Become somebody. Question is, what are you feeding him or her? It's neither her or him because your spirit has no gender. Has no gender. What are you feeding it? Because the nature of the spirit is it will only accept one food, which is called truth. Because it was born of truth. It will not accept anything. It cannot accept anything. That's why the Bible says he is born of sin. Cannot sin. Because he's born of incorruptible seed. There is no corruption in him. He is not tempted. He cannot sin. That person cannot sin. Because he's born of God. Question is, what are you feeding him? What are you feeding him? Jesus was born of God. Literally, born of God. And because his God is the emperor of the whole universe, he was born king. Why was he born king? Because that's who he is. Because that's who his father is. So the first question asked in the gospel according to Matthew when he's born is the Magi come and ask, where is he born king of Jews? Born. Born. But he was born king of Jews, but he had to become somebody. Nobody saw him for 30 years. He was under training. The Bible talks about him in Hebrews 5, verse 8 and 9, like this. Though he was a son, capital, he was the son of the king, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered, and having been perfected, he became the author of eternal self. Having been what? He became somebody. He became somebody. He became somebody. We were also born of God, not in the identical manner, but spiritually the same way. We are born of God. And God said, you need to become somebody. Therefore, the words recorded about Jesus in the Bible is so important because you are tracing something which is our paradigm. This is the one we are imitating because he is the firstborn among many. Okay? I grew up first 12, 13 years in one country. Then middle of the academic year in class 6, I came to another country where I was those time tragic, now blessed to be in my grandfather's house in a small town away from the city where all my siblings were studying in the first one in the family to study in a Protestant school. Okay. But everybody among us, the four older ones, everybody did their 11 and 12 in that same hometown. Everybody did that. We call it pre-degree. It was not 11 and 12. It was called pre-degree, pre-university, inter. You have different names there. We did our pre-degree. But the problem was this, for the younger ones, the problem was this, the eldest one is a stew, meaning he did not make stew, he was studious. That's his nicknames those days. He will sit and work. So he set a pattern, which was very difficult for us to avoid. He set a pattern, and then he topped with the rank in the college. So everyone who comes in, the first question, your name, oh, are you that one's brother? Or sister? Yes. Follow him. Bring laurels to the college. So you are caught in a trap. Everyone had to follow. Okay? Because he set a benchmark and we all followed his benchmark. So in the same way, he's the firstborn of many. Christ is the firstborn among many. He set something before us. And therefore his words written about him are very important. Or the words he spoke are very important. In Luke chapter 2 verse 49. He said to them, why do you seek me? Did you not know that I might be about my father's business? First words recorded about Jesus speaking at the age of 12. Do you know what this statement means? When he's 12 years old, he knows where he's from, what is he here for, where he's going. The first statement from Jesus' lips, written in the Bible, gives you the answer of those three questions. I know where I am from, I know what I'm here for, I know where I'm going back. And why are you upset? Why are you upset? 13 years old? 12 years old? Parents? Do you know? Our job is to know and speak to our children. See, we cannot choose for our children. We can choose colleges for our children. We can choose careers for our children. We can pay for it. We can choose. We cannot choose purpose. We have no divine right to choose purpose for our children because they are not our children. God chooses. They can accept, they can reject. Moses knew at 40, but he found it only at 80. Purpose. There's a kid sitting over there, my son. Before he was born, 4 years ago, before he was born, I knew it was a boy. I knew he was to be called Andrew. He told me, I'll give you a son. You shall call him Andrew. And then when he was 11 years old, ask him. When he was 11 years old, I told him, this is your purpose. This is your purpose. It's up to him to take it or not. Is it gone? No, because the Bible says the calling and the gifts are irrevocable. So he turned 24. I said, at the age of 12, this is what you're supposed to do. This is what God told me. Ask him. He turned 24 this year. What did I tell him on the day of his birthday? 12 years have passed by. He's still waiting for you. That's our job. To find purpose. He knew at 12. I'm just saying it so that you understand. There's so many things which you do not know about me. Sometimes once in a while I will say this is how it works. That's why he'll always sit there with his head down because he knows what he is supposed to be. And he is fighting. He will one day surrender. Because our job is once you're revealed, our job is to pray. Keep praying. Keep praying. Moses knew at 40, surrendered at 80. You know, our eldest daughter, you have seen her. Most of you have seen her. I think all of you have seen her, right? Ask her. When you meet her. When she was there, I told her, I haven't seen the boy. But this is what the Lord is telling me. This is the man you're supposed to marry. It's up to you to choose. She said no. She said no. That's my call. I have to tell you, this is the man you're supposed to marry. It's a man on fire for God. This is the man you're supposed to marry. He's there. Where you are, he's there. If I say yes, and you say yes, he will meet you. And if you say no, he will not come to you. She said no. And she married somebody else. Did I meet the boy? No, I don't have to meet because the spirit is much stronger than the soul. 3 years later, he wrote to me, he said, Pastor James, I have waited so long for your daughter. Do you give me permission to move on? I said, move on, son. Purpose. We can choose many things for our children, but we do not have the right to choose certain things because it is connected to their purpose. So Isaac cannot marry from Canaan because it will go against his purpose. That's why God says, do not be unequally yoked to an unbeliever because it will go against my purpose in your life. You will lose your purpose. You will miss your purpose. So So when they do not go that way, what do? We condemn them, be angry with them, upset with them? We keep on praying because there is one who is above it all who will still keep working it out. But waiting, working it all out, working it all, because he is. People do not understand how the kingdom of God works. It's a real kingdom where you become somebody. Where he speaks, where you hear. The most important thing after you are saved, you need to ask yourself, why am I here? What did you save me for? What do you want me to do in this time on planet Earth? Because Jesus knew. So you need to know. It's right there, like last night's question we were asking, no? Pharisees will come and ask a question about divorce. Are you allowed to divorce for every and any cause? Jesus doesn't answer the question. They're asking about divorce, he's talking about marriage. If you look to answer, he's not answering their question, he's talking about something. He will say, it was not so in the beginning. What does it mean? It was not so in the beginning. What does it mean? It simply means this was not the original intention or purpose. That is what it means. I'll tell you something about the kingdom of God and this church, especially our church with which you struggle. The kingdom of God is absolutely, totally full of volunteers. There are no conscripts there. Meaning you have to volunteer. Lord, I surrender. He will not pull you. He will not coerce you. He will not coerce you. He won't do any of these things. And that's a very, because he gave us the free will. How can he take it away? By nature, whatever he has given takes his nature. It is holy. Choose this day whom you will serve. So we have to volunteer. We have to volunteer. So you have to volunteer. That's why I tell them, if you are young, you are free. It doesn't matter. According to this thing, give your names to one of us. So we have a list. These are people who have volunteered today. 7:30, I don't know. One group came and set up the whole church. I don't even know whether what time they came, whether they ate breakfast. I do not know. But there are a few volunteers. But you can give your name. And your name is there, and if you are free, we'll send you a text. Are you available? Come at 7:30. What do you think? A miracle happened here? Angels came and set this all up? No, people did. Volunteers. Volunteers did it. Don't sit there and never volunteer. Never volunteer. Because the kingdom of God is full of volunteers. Jesus called. Jesus, God on earth, called. Sell, you got a lot of wealth, sell it, give it to the poor and follow me. And the man turned around and walked away. Jesus says, how dare you walk away? Do you know who's calling? No caution, no. If you follow me, you have to follow me on your free will. By the conditions I have set. It's a very difficult concept for us. To accept, because that's the kingdom of God. And the first words in the book of Hebrews recorded about Jesus is a voice of surrender. Behold, in the volume of the book it is written about me, O God, my God, I have come to do your will. Surrender. I am a volunteer. You didn't push me out of heaven. I came on my own to serve you, O Father, to do your will. And it's written in this book. And you suddenly realize, because of the old man inside, every day you have to wake up and surrender again. And again. And again. And again. And again. So everything is there in the beginning. How God intended. That's why Genesis 1 and 2 are the most important chapters for a person who is born into the kingdom. Because you see intent. This is what God intended. So if you go to Genesis 1 and verse 26, I think I will never exhaust 1:26 till the end of the year. God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. And then he said, let them have dominion. So you look over there are fundamental principles established. First principle that is established is, he establishes purpose before the product is made. Man has not been made. Man has not been made. Man is still in God's mind. Man has not been made. But before man is made, God says this is his purpose. Why is he being made? He is being made so when he is put on earth, he will exercise our kind of dominion, because he will be made in our likeness and our image. Therefore, he will exercise our kind of dominion over these three spheres. Earth, land, earth, water, and air. The purpose comes first. If you follow till today, that's how we make things. Till today, that's how we make things. Second thing that happens is God identifies the material from which the product will be made. Let the land bring forth, let the waters bring forth. So he's identifying the material from which the product is going to make. So when it comes to man, he says, let us make man in our image, our likeness. So the man's outer shell was made out of dirt, but his inner man was made out of God. Made out of God. He breathed in, and Adam became a living soul. Until today, mankind hasn't been able to fully tap the capacity of that human soul. You look around 6,000 years of human civilization, what man has achieved. What man has achieved? Why? The material from which it has been made. Because according to the purpose, there is a material. Land brought according to its kind. Water brought according to its kind. But when it came to us, this outer body was earth. But the inner man was not. Third thing you need to understand is, the Creator spoke into that material. The Creator spoke into that material. And because the material is created, the product is made from the same kind of stuff, and the Creator has spoken into it. You know what? The product, Adam, possesses the same kind of nature as the source. That is God. Our body is from earth. Not our soul. And all the questions religion is trying to answer is about the soul. Religion is not trying to answer the question of the body. You see, different religions have found different ways to dispose of the body, but every religion is cracking their head to answer the soul. Nobody is saying in Hinduism the body will come back. They will say the soul is coming back in another body. The Jew and the Muslim want to bury the body before evening. The Hindu may throw it in the river or cremate the body. Nobody is talking about the body. Everybody is talking about the soul. Why is everybody talking about the soul? Because the nature of that product. Who made it? What did he use to make it? The fall did not change it. It only messed it up. It corrupted the whole thing. Listen to God's words spoken about man after the flood. Listen to what God is saying in Genesis 11. They said, this is man. They said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, indeed the people are one, and they all have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now nothing they purpose to do will be withheld from them. Do you think, God, what is God saying here? These people have all come together. One mind, one purpose, one language. They have come together and says, let us build a portal that goes into the third heaven. Or the second heaven. Let us build a portal. God looks and says, you know what? Nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. They can do it. The father is telling the son is telling the spirit. Actually, they can do it. Why? Because they are like us. Nothing is impossible for them. They can. That's our nature. Who thought 100 years ago man would go to the moon? You know what China and Russia is planning? They're planning to make a lunar station, nuclear-powered lunar station, which is probably bigger than Hyderabad in moon. And God says it's possible. They can do it. Why can't they do it? Because of whose image and likeness we have been made. And that's what God is saying. Nothing they propose, they can do it. So God says, but it's not good. Because they have a warped nature. They are in our image and likeness. We made them, but they are fallen. Now they are shaped in iniquity. They are listening to the devil. If they do this, it will be terrible. So what will we do? God says, very simple. We'll do one thing in verse 7. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language. What did God say? Confuse their language. That day, the devil learned an important lesson. He learned, if man is single-minded, they can achieve anything. If you can divide them, they can achieve nothing. So the devil creates unity in his camp and division in the Lord's camp. Do you know why your homes are divided? If they are divided? Because the devil knows. If you speak in one tongue, nothing you believe and propose is impossible. That's why husbands and wives don't never agree. They hardly communicate. Why? If you look at the American Congress, if you look at the American Congress, the past so many years, decades, if you look at the actual American Congress, how it functions, you will always see something. The Democrats vote en masse. Always together. Terrible, incredible unit. And every proposal they put forward is demonic. Literally, really, it's not a humor, it's a fact. It's demonic. Unity is there. On the other side, the conservatives, believers, they can never agree. Can never agree. How did the devil learn this? He learned it in Genesis 11. He knows this is how it works. This is how it works. Do you understand? That's why we were made in the image of God. There's no disunity between the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one. What? Now from that day, fast forward to a few thousand years. Suddenly Jesus is risen. He's in heaven. 10 days have come, gone by. It is the day of Pentecost. Suddenly something happens in Acts chapter 2 verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. 120 people in 10 days. One place, one accord. And verse 4 says, then they were all amazed and, no, verse 4. Verse 4, not 7, sorry, verse 4. Verse 4. Did I have it? And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak. One language. One language. They didn't understand each other. But it was one language. Do you know in your computer this thing, you know you have something which is called, you know, I only saw it in CIA movies where they can override your command. Somebody higher with higher credentials can override. That's what God did. He just pressed override and he overrode our soul and went straight to the spirit and said, make them one. Give them a language they cannot understand. Because if they understand, they won't agree. They won't agree. Because their that other mind, no, that called rational mind will start in conflict and they will not agree. So overrule their soul, go straight to the spirit and let them speak and let them come together in one place, one accord, one gospel of the kingdom. Are you getting it? That's why Paul will say, I pray in other tongues more than anyone else. Anyone else. When do you pray in tongues more than any time? When your conscious mind and the other one cannot understand what's happening. I surrender. Take over God. Let my spirit agree with you. I don't have to know. If you let me know, fine. If you don't let me know, it's fine with me. How God works. How the kingdom works. That's who we are. The seed. The DNA. Once you're born into the kingdom of God, let me tell you something. Listen carefully. To understand yourself, don't try to understand yourself and lie on a couch in a psychiatrist's room and waste your money. Once you're born of God, you are in the kingdom. To understand yourself, you need to understand God. Because that's the source. And to understand God, it's impossible. To understand God, you need to understand Christ. Because only understand God through Christ. Because Christ is the exact representation of God. He's the exact representative. If God were to walk on flesh, and he did, that was Christ. That's why we study Christ. Why do we study Christ? So that we can become like him. That's the truth about ourselves. Where am I from? What am I supposed to do? Where am I going? God says, look unto Christ, the author and the finisher of your, author and the perfecter of your faith is alive. We are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. You can learn many, many, many things from them whenever the Spirit of Christ worked in them. But keep your eyes fixed on Christ Jesus. He's the author and the perfecter, the finisher of that life. Why? Because that's the source. We were born of him. He's our spiritual DNA. Scientists are always working on DNA, cracking, 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 trying to find the DNA, because if you crack the DNA, you can understand how it all works. So we saw a little earlier in Luke 2 and verse 49, we saw Jesus knew his purpose. I'm at my father's business. You're born of God. Your father is God. Do you know his business? You can know because you didn't ask. But if you ask, you will know. Sometime or other, you will know. There is no one who cannot know. You will know what is your purpose is. You go further down. We are looking at Jesus. You go further down because he's our paradigm. He's our model. A further down in chapter 2, this is what he says. He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. One of the first things that is written about him is he was subject to the authorities God had put under him. Even if it meant spiritually, he had to go down. Going down to Nazareth was normal for Joseph and Mary, not for Jesus. He went down. Why? Because he knew that's what he needs to do. And he was subject to them. The question is, what can they teach them about God? What can they teach him about God? Because he has come from the bosom of God to reveal God to us. Yet he went down. Learn from Jesus how the kingdom works. Because he is. There are steps to reaching your purpose. This is what he did. He went down. It's written he went down. A man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and he was waylaid by thieves. Why? Because you did not go down led by the Spirit. But when you go down led by your Spirit, you will not be waylaid by the thief. Because you are going down under the unction of the Holy Spirit. And you are divinely protected. And there he is subject to them. They may not know anything about who he is, where he is from, what he is supposed to do is irrelevant. He's teaching us something. Be subject to God ordained authorities. He's young, just 12 years old. And then there is the next very powerful verse. And Jesus increased. Jesus increased. When you go down, you can still increase. Does not matter. Does not matter. From his father's house, Joseph went down to Egypt. He was sold, but he increased. From Potiphar's palace, he went down, thrown into the prison. He increased. Jonah went down and down and decreased because he was running away from God. So it's not where you go, who sends you is what matters. He increased. And he increased in wisdom. It's growing. He's growing in the truth. 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 And in stature, he's also physically growing. He's growing. His soul is growing. His body is growing. And then there is something written. Favor with God. Equity. Not iniquity. Equity. Balance with God and with man. With God and with man. I'm absolutely sure about Jesus. His father only had to call him once. Yeshu, your dad. Mama calls Yeshu, your mom. I'm sure he was the talk of little Nazareth. His mother said, oh, what a boy I have. The other ones know Joseph and Judas. Oof, give me so much headache, his sisters too. But this boy. You don't have to tell him anything. He just does it. I wish everybody was like him. Why? Because he was not playing religion. He was becoming somebody. He knew who he was. He knew he was born of God. And he was just acting like God in flesh, helping his dad and his mom out. Taking care of younger siblings. And he had favor with men. Everybody there. For 30 years he had no conflict with man. When he stepped forward and started preaching the kingdom, that's when conflict came in. But 30 years there is no conflict. Absolutely no conflict. If there is conflict in your life, let it come only because of the kingdom. Because we are called to live in peace with all men. He had no conflict. He had always had favor. Favor. The rabbi said, he's my best student. The dad said, God, you can't have a son like this. The mother probably talked all about him. And all the people in the village must have said, what a boy. Favor. Because he's becoming somebody. Then he steps out. And he's led by the Spirit. You know all the stuff that happens to him. So for the first 30 years, what is he doing? He's living in the good will of God. His will is good. He's living in the good will of God. And then at 30, father says, leave. Step out. Go to Jerusalem. Go to Jordan. Get baptized. There's an encounter between the old covenant and the new covenant. The last and the first. And there's a baptism that takes place. He goes under and he comes out and the father says, this is my beloved son. For with him, I am well pleased. He's going stepping down into the second part of God's will. The pleasing will of God. From now onwards, he will have to walk absolutely by faith. Absolutely by. He will not rest on the work of his hands or the cooking of his mother. He will not know from today where he will sleep, what he will eat, where he will be led. He has no clue. He is going to walk in faith. God says, I'm well pleased with you. Because without faith, no one can please God. He's moving into the second part of God's will. And the next thing you hear is the Spirit drove him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And every temptation, 40 days, hungry, thirsty, 40 days, he says, it is written, it is written, it is written, it is written. What has seeped in is coming out. By the time he reaches the cross, he has reached the perfect will of God. Everywhere. Everywhere. If you are a child, look at him. If you are a young man, look at him. To go to John chapter 2 and verse 4. He said to a woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. He's got there. He says, not that I cannot do it or it's wrong to do it, because I will do many things greater than this. But mama, this is, you don't understand my dad's timing. This is not the time. But he must have heard in his spirit, it's okay. And he did. Question is, why did she come to him? She was not expecting a miracle, because he has never done a miracle. But she knows that my eldest boy, Yeshu, no, he always has a solution. He'll never say no. You ask him to do anything, anytime, any hour of the day, he will do it. That's one kid I can depend upon. That's when she came. So she went and told the servants, whatever he says, do it. She thought he will just send them to the village somewhere to buy wine or something. She had no clue what he was going to do. I don't think she knew. Because he has done nothing so far. Do you see the, him there as a son? Can your dad, can your mother depend upon him? Can they depend upon him? Because everything begins at home. It doesn't begin outside. Because the hope is that's going to frame us, not the outside. Can they depend upon him? Because we are trying to become something. This is not religion. Religion only makes you hypocrites. Kingdom makes you into persons who are made in the likeness and the image of God. And go to John chapter 19. And verse 27. 27 and 28. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour the disciple took her to his own home. And verse 26 he will say, mother, behold your son. Right? Woman, behold your question. Where is he? On the cross. Even on the cross. Whole body racked in pain. Every breath is painful. He still knows my duties at home is still not finished. My mommy is there. She's a widow. I need to see that she's taken care of before I leave. And he looks around. He knows he can't trust his brothers. He looks around all the disciples. He knows how they are going to die. And he knows one is going to outlive everybody. He says, you take care of my mommy. Your duties never end. It never ends. Look at him. He set something for us, an example for us. This is whom we are trying to imitate. There is no other life in the kingdom. In heaven there will be no father, mother, wife, children, nothing. But now they are all there. God says, live it out. I lived it out in my lifetime. You live it out. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself to her. Then he tells us something. Through the Spirit, apostle says, husbands, all men, married men over here, do you know there is only one way to love your wives? Love your wives? How? Not like Abraham loved Sarah, Isaac loved Rebecca, Jacob loved Rachel and worked so many years and they were, no. He said, that's not that. None of that. They're all good examples. Okay, yes, no. He said, there is one bigger than all. That is Christ. And there's only one way. There's only one way you can serve. You have to sanctify her. By the washing, cleansing her with the washing of the water by the word. Do you speak? Life? Do you speak? And do you listen? Do you? He is the paradigm for us. This is how we are called. We don't reach there in one day, but you need to know. That's where I am going. This is where I am going. Because that's who I am. So whenever they asked Jesus about, he did not say what he did. He said, this is who I am. This is who I am. Not this is what I do. This is what I do because this is who I am. Why do you love your wives like this? Because that is who I am, born of God. If somebody asks, why are you subject to your parents and do everything which they tell? Because that is who I am, born of God. That's who I am. That's why I do these things. But if it is religion, then you will only do when you are supervised with cameras watching you. You don't need surveillance in the kingdom of God, though he knows everything. And he is the everlasting Father. Forever making intercession for the saints. He knows he gave us a free will. He knows we are old. He knows he cannot force us to do anything. So he says, Dada, what I will do is I will keep praying for them. That's what we do as parents. Pray for our children every day. Pray, 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 pray. Lord, pray, 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 pray. They are your children we bore unto you. We gave them over to you. They are yours, Lord. And we every time here, every Sunday, every day in our homes, and every Sunday we speak over our children that all our children shall be taught of the Lord. And great shall be their peace. They will know him. They will walk with him. They will serve him all the days of our life. We will not go by what we see. We will go by what we believe. That is the spirit of faith. We have believed. Therefore we speak. So Jesus came and showed us something. What is to be in the image and the likeness of God? How to subdue the flesh? How to subdue Satan? And how to dominate your environment? Your environment. I give you dominion over your environment. Friday I will reach another land. Every time I get into a new country, the first thing I come down that staircase, I come down, I put my foot in, the first thing I say, Lord, I bring to your remembrance your word. What you told Joshua is what you have telling me. Everyone, it is the same. You did never change. Every place the sole of my foot treads, you said, give it to me. I'm here on your work. I pray you give it to me. I'm not asking for land. I'm asking for souls. Because the land has no meaning without souls. The land gets its meaning from the souls. We are not land worshippers. We are God worshippers. We are not nature worshippers. We are God worshippers. Do you believe? Single-minded. When he expressed, he was the express image of God. And he showed us to all of you. Where you are born doesn't matter. Who your parents are doesn't matter. Dad is carpenter, mother, housewife, born in Bethlehem, lives in a town which they call, nothing good comes from it. Your background is irrelevant. The only thing is, are you born again? Are you born of God? If you're born of God, your possibilities are limitless. And your purpose is of and from God. Do you know where you are from? Do you know why you are here? Do you know where you are going? Questions. Serious questions should ask every day. As he reflected to us in the flesh, the image of the living God. One of the questions yesterday at Q&A, we answered part of it. What is the primary characteristics of God? First thing is, in whichever order, he is omnipotent. That's his inherent nature. What does it mean? He's all powerful. about those, about man made in his image, in his likeness. Limited but true. Jesus looked at people and said, if you believe, all things are possible. And he looked at his disciple and said, you are so surprised, zapped by the things I do, greater things than this you shall do. Believed. I believe what he said is true because I have traveled more than Jesus ever did in his entire life. 10, 100,000 times more than he has. Spoken to more people than he has. Because he didn't walk more than 40 square kilometers. Is it possible? Yes. The power. He's omnipotent, all powerful. We don't have that. But to a limited level, God has given it to us. But it has to be used for good. But man, the fallen man, uses it for evil. All men, lift up your hands. All men, only men. Nicely. Yes, Stanley, you can lift that wonderful baking hands. Lift up your hands, men. This is to serve your wife, not to beat her up. Christ never beat up the church. He served her. Blessed, 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 blessed. She was delivered, she was healed, dead were raised, lepers were cleansed, and finally when they nailed his hands, he still said, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. Power to serve. To serve. To serve. He's omniscient. What does it mean? He knows everything. All knowing. Do you know, in all the people, all the creatures on earth, we are the only one who can increase our knowledge and retain it too. That's why when you buy your iPhone, you will ask, how much capacity, how many GB? Because you want to see how much you can retain in it. Your memory. The capacity. The little children here today, the little children sitting here today, know more stuff, things which was unimaginable 100 years, for 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 years. It's an explosion of knowledge. Why? Why only man? Because he was made in the image of God. And God is omniscient. He knows everything. We don't know everything, but we are trying to know as much as we can. And that's what I told you last Sunday. You are blessed because you read. Not read, because you can read. You don't read, but you can read. You have education. The purpose of education is to acquire knowledge, to acquire truth, to acquire wisdom. Because it's through wisdom and knowledge you build your home. And you don't read. You don't read. What I said yesterday, I shall repeat today. Shall I? Don't crucify me after the service. Most of your husbands here, sitting here, if not all, are extremely well read. And you married women, you don't read. That's why you struggle to communicate at home. It takes two to tango. Sometimes when your husband comes home, he doesn't know what to say. Now you don't need to know all the subjects he's interested in. Get to know this. This one book. It's the fountain of knowledge. This one book. Books on this book. Read. Choose to read. You will suddenly realize, my God, I didn't know my brain had this capacity to understand these difficult concepts. You have no clue the capacity of the human mind because it is made in the image and the likeness of God. What it can do. And mankind has not even tapped 10% of its potential because God is keeping it for the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ and after that for eternity. Go ahead, create my sons and daughters. Take over. I will sit back and enjoy my children do what they were called to do, supposed to do. Can you imagine Adam, God telling Adam and says, you name them. You name them. You name them. They are being brought to Adam. God says, you do it. You can do it. Because you got my image. You name them. Each one according to their character. You name them. You know them. You walk with them. You talk to them. You know them. You name them. Underutilized. A man of God once, long, long ago, he said, the richest place on planet Earth are not the gold mines of this place or the diamond mines of Africa or any of this place or Fort Knox where all the gold of America is kept. He said, the richest place is the graveyard because you see unfulfilled potential over there. Each one could have become somebody in God's kingdom, but they died becoming nobody. Because into every one of that soul was once breathed the Spirit of God. And they never, never became what they were supposed to be. The devil fooled them. Do you know the potential in a graveyard? What lieth here? What could have been achieved here? And the devil gives us trinkets and say, follow it. And we run after it, tire ourselves, and we die. We don't know what is to work the works of God. We have jobs and careers. We go to your office, a job we hate. Sit with employees we dislike. Do a work which we don't like at all. Get a salary which we complain about. And then we retire early and die. And God says, I had a purpose for you. Which never ends. When you discover God's purpose, it never ends. It ends only with death. And you then wait for to continue it. Waiting for everybody to come home so that you can come back and continue it. If you not read the accounts of the greats in the Old Testament, on his last day, he rose up in his bed, he called his 12 sons, and he blessed them, and he prophesied, Reuben, Levi, Simeon, Judah. All man cannot see. His shrunken skin and bones sitting over there, and yet he looks at him and says, Judah, Judah, the scepter shall not pass from Judah until Shiloh comes. What a man. What a man. Why? Because he found purpose. Another man, at 30 he became governor of Egypt, dies at 110, has lived in the lap of luxury of the most powerful nation on planet Earth. 80 years of his life has been in the palace. But when he dies, he calls, swear me by my name. You will not bury me here. Embalm my body. Because I believe what our forefathers have said. God will take us out of this land. This is not where we are. This is where we are supposed to be. Has my token put my body out there in the open. So for 400 years when Israel went into slavery, they had one token over there. They saw the body of Joseph standing in the public square and they know one day a savior will come and take us out of this place. Purpose. In his death also he found his purpose. Don't live meaningless lives. That's for the animals, not for us. Purpose. Don't worry about your jobs. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about your career. God will give it to you all. All. He's all knowing. And he's given us the capacity to. That's why every vacation time I tell all these young children, learn one skill, one skill, one skill. You're young, your brains are fresh. Learn to swim, learn to play the guitar, learn to play the keyboard, learn to drive, learn to drive. Learn, 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 because you can. Because you're young. I couldn't. I grew up in the mountains, so you didn't even know how to ride a bicycle. So I struggled to learn a two-wheeler. There was no music over there, so I never learned a musical instrument. Ask Vasavidya what I tell him. Ask him what I tell him. I said, you, Malkriya, you, I tell him, you sing, practice on your guitar. Practice on your guitar. It's not very often. Over every 1,000 pastors, there's only one who can preach and sing at the same time. You are one among 1,000. Practice, 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 because you do not know the day and the hour when you will need. You preach and the spirit anointing comes, you take. Even Elisha couldn't sing or play an instrument, so he said, bring a musician so that I can prophesy. Practice, practice, practice. Learn skills. Because you do not know when the Lord will require it. Jehovah says, I am. Tell us, Elisha says, only because of the presence of the king of Judah, I am going to speak. But I'm not getting it because too many unbelievers over here. I cannot get it. Get a musician. Learn. Learn now. Don't waste your time. Think kingdom. It is not just a song, two hands and one heart. Yes, give your heart, but give your hands too. What can I do with these hands, O Lord? I'm young, I have the strength, I have the time. Help me, Lord, I want to use these hands to serve you. To serve you. Think kingdom. And he's omnipresent. He's present everywhere. He's present everywhere. We are in his image. That's why when I'm preaching now, 2 Sundays when I preached from an Arab country, somebody wrote, somebody from another country sitting among their midst said, I'm sitting with underground believers and they are so excited, jumping. Because pastor said, there are children sitting over here, yet I will make it simple for them. How can I be everywhere? They are listening in New York. They are listening in Alaska now. They are listening in Israel now. They are listening in Middle East now. Why are they able to listen? Because we were made in the image of God. We cannot be everywhere like him, but God has given us the brains to be able to be wherever we can be. And you know you can. You get on your WhatsApp and you make a group call and your brother from Australia, your sister from Canada, your cousin in Germany are all coming together. Why can no other creation on earth be able to do it? Because of who we are. Don't let the leftist professor sitting in the university still tell you, you are out of nothing, you are going to nothing, and you are nothing. I came from God, I'm here for a purpose, and I'm going back to him when I am able to tell him, I have finished. Don't let them brainwash you. You are made in the image and the likeness of God. And learn to exercise dominion in your own surroundings for good. For the blessing of others. To serve. That's who we are. Daniel 12 and verse 4, this is what God says. You, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the books until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro and knowledge shall increase. They shall go all over. And knowledge shall increase. 62 years ago, when my parents went to that first country, it took them 3 days by train and 2 days by vehicle to reach that place. 5 days by train and 2 days by road to reach that country. I will reach in 3 hours. I'll reach in 3 hours. But they went before me. That's why I will go after them. When my friend came from Kerala, and he was sitting and talking with my mother, and I heard her speaking in Malayalam, she said, I always was angry why his father took us to that land. Because she was a gunman servant. At the age of 21, and she resigned and went over there. I said, I worked there because of his father. Then he said, when I came to Christ and knew Christ, I realized I was born to give birth to him. That was my purpose. If Samuel is not born, Hannah will not be known. Hannah is known because her purpose was to birth Samuel. Who delivered Israel? Some of you mothers, your only purpose is to raise up children who will become arrows in the quiver of that mighty man. Who will contend with his enemies in these last days. Purpose. Purpose. That is who our God is. And we've been made in his image. And that's what he's talking about. And knowledge shall increase. The dog is where the dog is 4,000, 6,000 years later. It hasn't moved an inch. The lion is where the lion is 6,000 years. It hasn't moved anywhere. 6,000 years, look at man, what man has done. Why has he done it? Only because even though he rejected and turned his back against his creator, he could not help but become like his creator, because that was who he is. In my image, let us make him in our image and in our likeness. But there is one more thing which mankind lost about God. His image. It is found in Numbers 23 and verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie, or a son of man he should repent. Now what it means? Our God is a God of integrity. Even in his thoughts, even in his intentions, his words, his actions, he's a God of absolute integrity. If you want to know the meaning of integrity, after the service, go ask Pastor Vijay. He will explain to you in maths what integer means. Integrity. So we didn't lose the first three. We lost the four. And therefore we messed up everything. And we need to come back to the fourth one. That's why. In the Bible, New Covenant, the Holy Spirit through Apostle Paul will say, your yes should be yes. No should be no. Doesn't matter. It's irrelevant about how others react. Your yes is your yes. Your no is your no. What does it mean? You become like your father. People of integrity. If you become that fourth one, all the three will work for you. For your eternal good. Become people of integrity. He's absolutely pure in his motives, his intentions, in his words, and in his works. And pray, Lord, Lord, this is my prayer. Make me like you. Make me like you. That's what Paul is saying in Ephesians 4:23. Be renewed. Where? In the spirit of your mind. That's a different one. The spirit of your mind. That's your heart. The new heart. The spirit of your mind. Be renewed there. So your circumstances doesn't matter. Nothing matters. All that matters is, who are you? Who are you? The 1,000-mile journey from Jerusalem to Babylon, the capital, probably Susa or some other capital, in chains, a huge caravan of slaves, trophies of war has been brought. They have been tested. Some have been selected to go to the Royal Academy. And it's their first day in the Royal Academy. They got their rooms and they have come. Like all of us who went to hostels came to the dining hall. And when they look at the dining hall, they look at the spread. It has come from the king's kitchen. And Daniel, who he was. It didn't matter you were in Babylon. You didn't matter you were in the pagan palace. It didn't matter you were surrounded by compromised Judaizers and Gentiles. Who you are came out. He purposed in his heart, I will not define myself, because my circumstance doesn't define who I am. I define my circumstances. I will exercise dominion over this situation. I will not defile myself. That's who you are. And Paul and Silas for doing a deliverance on a young girl, casting the demons out. The town is incited and enraged, stripped, beaten, thrown into the prison, locked up at the midnight hour. If it was religion, it would have stopped. But it was not religion. It was kingdom. Who they were was what was seen. And the Bible says, all the captives were listening. Because in their midst was the kingdom of God, represented by two men in chains. Do you know what happens? The kingdom intervenes. The kingdom intervenes and releases the two kingdom people. But not before they had baptized the whole jailer, because he had never seen anything like this. And his first question when he sees the doors open, everything open, and he sees nobody has gone out. Everybody is stuck there. Probably we do not know, unwritten. There's a worship service going on in the middle. In a Philippi village, they are all worshiping. They have joined. They're worshiping. He looks at them and he knows this is not religion. And he says, what should I do, masters, to be saved? What caused him that? He didn't say, what kind of a religion is this? What gods do? No questions. What do should I to be saved? How did he know he was unsaved? Because the kingdom was manifested there. Shall we stand this morning? Shall we stand? Your age is irrelevant. Doesn't matter how young you are, how old you are, irrelevant. It's irrelevant. Because God can anoint you so that he can finish what he intended you to do on earth. That's something which he can do. He can speed you, he can multiply, he can do all kinds of things, but all he needs is surrendered vessels. That's all he needs. 17, Joseph said, here I am. 80, finally Moses said, here I am. Your age is irrelevant. Learn the principles of the kingdom. One on, not before your parents. Don't do it before your parents, because something happens to you. When you are alone, in your bed, or in your bathroom, it doesn't matter. Go on your knees and just say to God yourself and say, Lord, here I am. Grandpa said this on Sunday at church. Papu said this. Pastor said this. I don't fully understand, but I understood. God wants us to say, here I am. Here I am. Keep saying it and see what will happen. See what will happen. That's all. Do you believe? That's what I do with all the people where I meet Gentiles, non-believers. Before I leave them, I say, how do we know your God is? I said, try it. I guarantee you this. I challenge you this. Even if you struggle, when your back is against the wall, call upon the name of Jesus and see what he will do. I challenge you. Call upon the name of Jesus. Because my God has said, if you call upon the name of Jesus, you shall be saved. Try it. Do you believe? Try it. Here I am, O Lord. Here I am. Shall we pray? Father, this morning we come to you once again, Lord. You said offer your bodies as living sacrifices. This 12th day of this 5th month, we say, Lord, here I am. Here I am. Here I am. 30 years, 40 years. Early I told you, Lord, here I am. And still here I am. There are many standing here in their inner man, crying out, Lord, here I am. I don't know what I am supposed to do. Here I am. And I know you will reveal it to them in time. As they follow the foundational principles of the kingdom, it will be revealed to you. As you told Saul of Tarsus, go to the city and wait. It will be told you. Go back from where you came. Do what you are doing. It will be told you. For God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man he should repent. If he spoke to Saul, he will speak to each one of you. He will speak. He's not a respecter of persons. He's only looking for vessels that are available. Available. No contention, no jealousy, no envy, no anger, nothing. Because we are all parts of the same body. Different parts, different functions. We don't dominate each other. We complement each other. We serve one another. Because that's who we are. Made, born again by the incorruptible seed with the image and the likeness of our living God stamped upon our spirits. Our spirits have the seal of God. Sealed by the Holy Spirit. By one sacrifice He made them perfect who are being sanctified. If you were to see your inner man, your spirit, you will see the seal of perfection on it. Because it is born of God. Now become somebody. Allow that seed to grow. Allow that person to manifest. Feed him with your word, his word. Feed him. Allow and listen and obey and surrender to the Spirit. And stay hidden. Stay hidden. Let him reveal you. Stay subject. Let him lift you. I bless your people in your name, Lord. Everyone. Youngest to the oldest. The unborn babies to all the little ones and big ones. I bless them in your name. I pray for hearing ears. Unclog their ears. Let their ears be circumcised that they too will hear. Because our God is a living God. A God who speaks. I speak that blessing, Lord. Because once they start hearing, everything will change. They will never be the same again. Never, never, ever be the same again. Thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord. We bless your holy name. We bless your holy name. We bless your holy name. And we stand here and once again declare as a church, thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. 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 May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with each one of us. Amen. Amen.
Did not wait for me to draw nigh to you, but you clothed yourself in frail humanity. You did not wait for me to cry out to you, but you let me hear your voice calling me. You did not wait for me to draw nigh to you, but you clothed yourself in frail humanity. Oh Lord, you did not wait for me to cry out to you, but you let me hear your voice calling me. And for